What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Because you know, like at camps and stuff like this, you take the ball out, you ain't getting the ball back. Like, you the last one up the court, they already did their thing. So I stopped there, and I just got into a rhythm and started hooping.
The Lakers should sign Trae Young this summer.
They got to kind of start preparing for, like, if LeBron's last year is this year or next year, whenever it is. And I feel like a pick and roll with AD and a guy like Trae Young would be deadly.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
3-year peak, 20 points per game, 14 rebounds per game, 2.5 blocks per game, 19,000 career points and counting. Only player ever to win Defensive Player of the Year 3 years in a row. 8-time All-Star, 2-time block champ, 8-time All-NBA, 5-time All-Defense, 5-time rebounding champ, 2020 NBA champ, 2004-05 All-Rookie, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year.
Bro, that's not top 75, dog. That's on, a whole bro. Book of accolades, yeah, bro.
About? What are we talking about?
And then he was one of the people that I was talking about that was left off that list. That man top 75.
What up, world? It's your boy Stack 5. Another episode of What's Burning. My brother Matt Barnes is off tending to the boys, somewhere playing basketball, doing his dad thing as he does. I got my homie, my partner in crime, Jamal Crawford, Mr. Cross over here, hosting with me today. What's up, doggy?
What's up, my guy? Prime.
We back at it. We back at it, Showtime.
We back at it. We back at it. Hey. We got to get more what they asking for. A little Seymour. What's up?
Hey. A little Seymour, give more. Already, here you go. Already, man. Let's get to it, man, with the status check. Warriors in Dallas, man. Warriors are one game away from going back to the finals. I said they was going to win the series. You know, Steph had another 30-point game, his seventh playoff 30-point game. Klay came in big the second half. You know, Klay still trying to get his feel, but he had his big shots. Poole, man, I know he finna get this bag. We said this, and I know me and Matt said this. I expect Luka to come out and have a big game. He's one of the best players in the league, but he has no supporting cast. And for me, some of the guys that should be playing on the sideline saying they hurt, but they running up and down the sideline like coaches. I don't understand what's going on over there, man. Luke, I know it's a lot of pressure on Luka, but it's no way that it's not a second that I thought that they was going to get out of this series, man, because the Warriors have too much experience. Klay, Steph, and Draymond are finally back together, what we've been looking to see for the last few years with Klay being out. So, I mean, it's no way that they get out this series, but I said Luka was going to do his job, man, but it's just too much over there in Golden State.
Luka's doing his job, Stack, but if you look at it, where's the support coming from? We know Brunson's going to give us some support. We know Dinwiddie's going to give us some support. I'm looking for everybody else because when Golden State won years ago with strength in numbers, They may be even more deep now. Whenever Andrew Wiggins is your fourth option, you got a championship level team. And like you said, I'm watching the first two games. I didn't see Klay really in rhythm. They were winning those games without Klay in rhythm, right? He had a good third quarter game one. But to get him in rhythm, get Wiggins playing how he's playing, and some things Wiggins is doing right now, picking up Luka full court, messing with him, wearing him down, frustrating him. The first game, Luka was frustrated with his teammates off of little things because he was frustrated with what was going on in the game. And it's good to see the Warriors back. A lot of people said they wouldn't get back. The league has changed. To see them, they hear those whispers as well. They got championship pedigree. And to see where they're going, be a game away from the finals, I think the league is better when the Warriors are doing well.
Yeah, I agree. I was one of those people early on in his career. I was real hard on Wiggins. You know, I went at him in the media a couple of times, but I'm the same person that'll kill you and give you props. He being a dog right now. And I mean on the defensive end, he's taking the challenge and he's being the player that the Warriors needed. Both is on the floor. Not really worrying about the ball too much, but making plays, getting tip dunks, and guarding the best player. Like I said, I killed him before, but I'm giving him his props. He a big reason why they winning right now. But Jamal, when the last time you went 0 for 10 from the three-point line?
Yeah, I'm not sure I went 0 for 10. If I went 0 for 10, I'm going 3 for 13. I'm shooting the next three. Ain't nothing stop me. I ain't losing confidence, but I'm getting closer to getting hot. But what you said with Wiggins was a huge point. And what you said, you didn't kill him. You was being real. You saw he had a potential. You saw he had talent, and you wanted to harness that and come out. He needed Golden State just as much as Golden State needed him. And they needed each other. And Wiggins was getting to a point where everybody saw the talent. He needed to see Steph and Klay and the preparation and being around that championship DNA and see what that felt like. See Draymond, see how they work every single day. Even a guy like Iguodala, he's not playing right now. Championship pedigree. He knows what it takes. Wiggins needed that. And for them to meet each other right now, it was the perfect time. He's balling. He's doing well. And we got to tip our hat to him.
It was good to see a lot of those things at the game. We also seen Mark Cuban and Wayne make up. But I just don't think Dallas has enough, man. It's going to be hard. 0-3, what you think is going to happen game four? Is going to end in Dallas, or are they going to go back to Golden State? San Francisco going to have to close it up.
You know what? Naturally, I could see you kind of taking your foot off the gas a little bit. Let's end it at home. Let's let our fans kind of celebrate this championship. I had Dallas winning one before the Western Conference Finals started. I still have them winning one. I think they win this one game. But then it comes down to Dallas. They be like, man, you know what? We didn't come back from 3-0. Let's just chill here. We ain't got to go travel. You know, but Luka got heart. I know he's going to show up. I know he got pride. J.K. is their leader. He's where all the experience is coming from. I see Dallas winning one game.
Where do we rank this on the Warriors? You know, they got championship already. Is this their most historic run? I mean, with everything they've gone through, Klay being injured, everybody, they started the playoffs with Steph injured. Draymond got kicked out of game. Like, it's a lot been going on already. Is this their, because this might be their last run.
You know what? I don't know if it's their most historic one, but I think it'll be their most appreciated one. Because they're not young anymore. They're not surprising nobody no more. They got hit on the chin, and like a true champion, they bounced back. They showed that you can have peaks and valleys. Klay's been injured since then. Guys are getting a little bit older. The league's getting a little bit better. You know, guys are, you know, playing and catching up a little bit more. So they hear all those whispers. Steph hears those whispers. Obviously, him being the center of what they're doing. I think this will be their most appreciated championship if they could pull it off.
For Luka, if they don't make it out of this series, what they need to do with him and to bring in to Dallas for him to be successful going forward?
Get some more help. I don't know if you watched TNT yesterday, but Chuck rode in on a horse. I said, man, that's Luka right now. He's riding in on a horse. He's carrying all this weight. They got to get him some help. If they get him some help, some real help, I don't mean regular season help. I mean playoff help. Jalen Brunson's a stud. Dinwiddie, we need a little bit more from. He got a whole lot of game, but the playoffs have been kind of up and down for him. If they can get him a bona fide second star, I'm not going to say any names, but if they can get him a bona fide type second star, I think his game will grow. But this is good for Luka being 23 years old and seeing there's levels to greatness, right? Steph Curry's been great for a long time. There's no better person for you to see in a playoff series, especially to get to the finals.
No team has ever come back 0-3, so we'll see what happens. Next segment, On the Radar by DraftKings. Here are the odds presented to you by DraftKings on how many games this series will go. Me, personally, it's over in 4. Man, y'all heard that? That's balls. 4 games, minus 110. 5 games, plus 160. 6 games, plus 1,000. 7 games, plus 850. What you think, Mar?
I'm going 5 games. I think they get one game.
You being nice, dog.
I'm being nice, but I just think they're going to give all they have for that one game. It's at home. They got to do their fans some justice. I'm going one game. They get one win. 5-game series.
Man, the chef and them have been in this position too many times, man. They got to go and get them boys up out of here.
They absolutely smell blood. Ain't no doubt about it, Jack. Ain't no doubt.
All right, let's move on to the Heat versus Boston. Game going seven. They're going 7 games plus 100, plus six games plus 135, and 5 games plus 600. This series, Maul, how many games you got it going?
I'm going 7. I think this one's going the distance. It's just I can't figure out who's the better team right now, Jack. I know who's better offensively in Boston. I know who's better defensively in Miami. But with health and availability, I'm going 7. It's a toss-up. Flip a coin. What you want, heads or tails?
I got to agree with you on that, bro. My question earlier, this series has been so up and down, I can't really tell who's going to win or who's going to play. Somebody go down every 2 seconds. So it's going to be up for grabs. But if I had to make a bet, I'd go 7 games plus 100.
Yeah, I would, too. I think that's a good bet. Safe money.
Safe money. Now it's time for our third edition of Showtime's Next 75. We're naming the 75 underappreciated hoopers of all time. Got to shed a light on them.
Today, we're going to be talking about 2000 Soups, me and Stacks' era.
Joining us today is one of the best players from our era, our brother, T-Mac, Tracy McGrady. What's up, bro?
Man, it's good to be on y'all platform, bro. What's going on with y'all?
Man, happy to have you on the show, man. Happy early birthday, too, dog.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Getting young, man. I'm getting younger.
You're getting wiser, Mac. You're getting wiser. That's all that is.
That, too.
Hey, we also got an announcement to make, dog. Not only is your birthday, we want to welcome you to the Showtime family. T-Mac is officially a part of the Showtime family now, so welcome, bro.
Yeah, man, I appreciate it. I was looking forward to this.
It's so dope. Mac, can you explain what OBL is and what you're trying to build?
So what I'm building, fellas, is really a league, a platform that creates opportunity for a lot of these hoopers that really untapped. As you all know, it's a lot of underground one-on-one leagues out here, a lot of great skills out here that is not playing in the NBA. Some of these guys played college ball, didn't get the opportunity to play professional basketball, but they still got that drive and love the game. Some people try to create one-on-one leagues, but I think the way I'm doing it with adding that ranking system brings a different dynamic to the game. And I think, you know, the players so far of being on this platform, they love it, man. Great skill set, great competition. The exposure that these cats can get that they probably never gotten before is something that, for me, because I know, you know, where I come from and how my story is, right?
Right.
Nothing really changed for me as a player. I just got on a bigger platform, a national platform. For me, what changed and really made me who I became was getting an invite to the Adidas camp, national ranked high school basketball platform. And prior to that, no one knew who the heck I was as right. a basketball player. That changed my whole world of getting on a nationally ranked platform. So I look at some of these cats that are out here, like I talked about, that love the game of basketball, creating that platform for them, giving them the opportunity to showcase their skill set and make a name for themselves and build a legacy. Or create one. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I'm all about. I want to change their lives because I know how my life got changed and somebody gave me that opportunity and I took advantage of that. And that's where I stand with OBL.
Hey, two questions. First, we appreciate you starting the league and we love being a part of it. But I want you to explain, tell people the definition of OBL, what it stands for, and also where do you see it in a few years?
So OBL stands for One's Basketball League. And in a few years, I'm looking for OBL to be global. You know, it's so many doors that I can knock down with this league that, to me, I think it should be a global platform that guys get that recognition for their skill set. I'm looking for it to be part of All-Star Weekend because the slam dunk contest is just not it. I mean, it's a hit or miss, you know, some years, I should say. I'm looking for it to be a part of the Olympics. Which was, you know, you got 3-on-3. Why not 1-on-1? Let's find out who the best in the world. And if it doesn't get into the Olympics, creating the model for OBL here in North America, whatever that model is, we then go and sell that model to different countries so they can identify who their ruler of the court is. And we can create through OBL, we can create our own Olympics. It doesn't have to be in the, you know, the big Olympics. We create OBL Olympics on our own.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. You're changing the game once again. Obviously, you changed it on the court, and we'll get into that later on. But you guys have been in different cities now. What have you noticed style of play-wise from city to city? What, tell me about Chicago versus, you know, Houston or a different place. What's the style of play from these different cities?
When you look at it, Atlanta was more of a brute style of basketball.
Okay.
Not really highly skilled guys, but it was just more of, you know, being a brute, muscling. Chicago showed an array of skills. Not only
that, the D-Rolls finished game.
Listen, man, Chicago, you already know, is a tough, you know, city anyway, but their mental was different. Like, they weighed different. But the skill set was really high. Houston was very competitive. Skill set was on another level as well. But if I had to choose, you know, which one out of those three cities was probably the best I've seen, I go Houston and Chicago, pretty high skill sets in those cities. But the toughness and the trash talking, Chicago, man, it was on a whole another level. And we're in New York next weekend, so you can imagine if Chicago was like that, what the city's going to be in New York.
Exactly.
Yeah, I had two youngins, Lil Boosie and another little kid play here in Atlanta, man. And he said, man, all the guards was big, man. It was nothing I can do. He said all the guards was too big, man. There's nothing I can do. But it was a great experience for him, T-Mac. I appreciate that because I play with these young guys at LA Fitness every week. And you can tell these kids hungry. But coming back in the gym after experiencing that, man, they had a different glow on them.
No, that's what it's about, bro. You know, just create opportunity for these cats, man, because I know how much they love to play this game. And I know the impact that it has on us, you know what I'm saying, as kids that grew up in certain areas. That's our way out. That's what we love to do. That's our safe haven. So to give these guys an opportunity only, you know, it's only right because of how I got to where I am today.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We talk about OBL being in New York next week. We talking about some talent. We going to see some Jamal Crawford, some ball handling going on in New York. But also, are you excited about the fight, the Tank Davis fight?
I am. Tank got them hands. And, you know, I've watched a couple of his fights. But to be able to see them hands, you know, go at it in person is going to be on a whole another level. I'm going to have probably a newfound respect for my guy after that fight. But I'm definitely looking forward. But going back to Chicago, JC, a kid from Kalamazoo won it. I don't know if you know that. From Kalamazoo, Michigan won it. Yeah, he drove 2.5 hours, bro, and he won it. And he want me to tell you who he played like? He played like Brandon Jennings, and he looks like Brandon Jennings.
Hey, and Matt, I saw him sitting in the chair when you were standing next to him. And when he was sitting there, he won. His face was still business. Like, he came down on a business trip. I felt that energy even looking at the picture. So that's crazy to say that.
Man, that man had game like Brandon Jennings. He was crafty. He was lefty. Looked like Brandon. He was nice. He was giving him the business out there, bro. When I say his skill set was on another level, he's highly skilled. Wow. And I know you from Seattle, but you got ties to Michigan. That's why I brought that up.
Nah, absolutely. And I know for you doing OBL, for you and being who you are, you like to see the skill set more than just backing you down, huh? You want to see the skill. Let me see why you're special. Let me see why you're crafty. I know that was exciting for you to watch a young Brandon Jennings on the street. I like that.
That's very important to me because I look at – when you look at the league right now, look at the European players. Right. Look at Luka. Look at Jokic. Mm-hmm. Right? They can't jump over a phone book. But they some of the most talented and highly skilled guys in our league. And they're going to be that way. Because you can't speed them up, right? No. You can't get under their skin. They're tough. They've been playing pro basketball since they was 10 years old. So
right.
These guys know how to play, man. They could beat you with their mind and their skills.
Absolutely. Skills pay the bills.
Yes, sir. Well, let's get into these 2000 hoops. Me and Mar came into the league in 2000. Mac, you signed with Orlando in 2000. First thoughts of the top 75 list. What's your first thoughts?
I mean, shit, you know, top 75, that's tough, bro. You know, and anytime you put on a list like that with, you know, the great players that come through our league, somebody's going to get left off. That's just what it is. You know, you're going to leave some great players off. But, you know, I'm pretty fun with the list. I just thought some of the guys that are still playing, you know, with the exclusive of LeBron James, that's a no-brainer. KD, it's a no-brainer. But some of the guys I still think they got a little bit more time, and Steph as well. Like, those are no-brainers. But there's some question marks on there that I thought, you know, some guys that didn't make it should be in there.
So my question for y'all is, when you think of 2000s basketball, like, what's the first thought that comes to mind, Stack and Mac?
To me, I think of perimeter dominance. Like,
yeah,
that's what I think. Perimeter dominance, bro.
Right.
Because the wing players back then, I mean, even you two guys stacked. Like, man, look, every night you had to put it down. You had a hell of a matchup every night, bro, on that wing.
No nights off.
I said that when I went to the East. You know, I was like, man, listen, bro, y'all don't know what I was going through in San Antonio every night, bro. On that wing, it was a problem every night, dog. I tell people all the time, I said, the talent on the wing, you know, you got to think, it's guards now all over the league. There's a lot of small guards. But I'm talking about Tracy, 6'9", Kobe, 6'7". Just, then you can deal with guys like Bonzi Wells. You got to deal with 250-pound Bonzi Wells every
night.
Ron Artest. You know what I'm saying? Like, you dealt with some animals on that wing, but I'm glad I went through that era because that's what made me, T-Mac. That's what made me. The competition and being around all y'all and learning from all y'all. I'm competing with y'all every night. I think that's what made me, bro, because I wanted to be great. You know what I'm saying? You couldn't be no punk, bro. Back then, if you was a punk, you was getting exploited, dog. And I'm sorry. Yeah. On the court, if you back down in any type of way, you getting exploited. Nowadays, you can see a guy that don't want to compete, and they'll kind of cover him up on the court, and they won't exploit him like we used to do.
That's a fact.
It's crazy because you know the T-Max, you know the Kobe's, you know the AIs, you know the Paul Pierce's, but a guy like Stack or Ron Artest could get at you just as fast. So when I think of 2000s, I think of no nights off. And you had to guard your matchup. You were what you guarded. Like you had, if you was a point guard, you had to guard a point guard. If you was a two guard, you had a guard or two. And the best guard the best every single night. So the competition level, to me, it was like a men's league. That's how I think of it. It was a men's league. And grown men was going at it every single night. And we learned to be that. So, yeah, it was absolutely unbelievable.
Listen, that era, I mean, we could talk about the obvious, right? The perennial all-stars. But when you start looking at, you know, the Pages Stojakovic that you got to guard, like, God, we're talking about some tough matchups. And for me, you know, I was guarding power forwards. I was guarding small forwards. I was guarding two guards and point guards, guarding AI, guarding, you know, Baron Davis. Bro, are you kidding me? Ray Allen.
Right.
Listen, Katino Mobley. Man, come on, bro.
Come on, bro.
Hey, man, it was tough, bro.
So question for both of you guys. T-Mac, I'll start with you. Who, give me three of the best one-on-one players in the 2000s.
Outside of the obvious, though, Matt. Come on, we know you. We know. Come
outside the obvious?
Yeah.
I just named one, Katino Mobley. Yeah. Cat was a problem, bro. Right? I'm going to give y'all another one that was pretty tough. Monster Mash.
Ooh, oh my. Mash. Mash was so cold.
Monster Mash was a problem, bro. And we talking not the obvious. So I put Monster Mash in there. And thirdly, come on, I mean, you're a one-on-one player. I ain't gonna put you in there, bro, because that's what you do, though. Stack, I'll throw you in there. You was a tough guard. You know why you was a tough guard? Because I couldn't block your shot. Because you put that joint all the way behind your head and it's slow as hell,
Matt,
bro.
Wasn't he so at peace with his game? Like, God, you're blocking this? Look,
it's like, oh, shit. You can't do nothing about this. I'm going to hit you. But like, it was so slow, bro. And you throwing that thing behind your head, you couldn't block it. Yeah, I mean, you average 20 in the league, right, bro?
Yeah,
man.
About 5 years.
Yeah, he absolutely did.
You was really tough in Charlotte. You and Gerald, what's the buddy name?
Gerald Wallace. Crash.
Yeah, Gerald Wallace. Y'all was tough.
They was tough.
Y'all was tough together in Charlotte.
I'm gonna give you three. That's not like T-Mac, Kobe, AI. I'm gonna give you, and not D-Wade. I'm gonna give you three. I'm gonna go with Gilbert Arenas.
Whew. Tough.
I'm gonna go with Baron.
Tough.
And I'm gonna go with Steve Francis because they had one shake where the whole side was just clear for you. You had a whole side just clear for you, and you on an island. And Rudy T just letting them dribble. So I'm gonna go with them three I had to guard in the 2000s. What about you, Steph?
If I had to give you three, and I can't name y'all, one I'm gonna go with because he got my respect, Brandon Roy. I got to go Brandon Roy. He was a problem, dog. He gave me problems, dog.
Yeah.
I would have to go to Caron Butler was tough.
Yeah.
Caron Butler, he wasn't just the crossover type of guy, but he just can get a bucket.
Yeah.
And somebody else who had one-on-one game, but it wasn't flashy, but he got 22,000 points, and they know I always talked about him on the show, Antoine Jameson, dog.
He had the ugliest game, bro.
And got it done. A bucket.
Got it done.
He did. He was a bucket.
But what'd you say,
dog?
But would you say he's one-on-one, though?
He was more of a garbage man, but he got buckets.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So,
in Golden State, he got buckets. In Golden State, they was going to him. When he was in Golden State, he was getting buckets.
50 balls.
50 balls.
Yeah. He was getting 50 balls. As a matter of fact, I think he had 50 back-to-back.
He did.
Yeah, he did.
One of them against the Lakers.
He did.
Yeah, he got buckets. And that's crazy because – the man got 22,000 points, bro. JC, you got 20,000 too, don't you?
They robbed me, Mac. They robbed me. They took the last 2 years from me. I only needed 486 points, but they got me. They got me.
I was
sick too. I was sick. I ain't gonna lie. I ain't never talked about it. I was sick. I was 486 points away from 20,000.
I thought you was gonna hit it,
bro. They got you, Mo. They got me.
Hey, I could have sat on the bench and played 5 minutes, give me 3 points a game. I'm going to ease into this 20,000. Yeah. They got it from me. They got it from
Yeah. Reaching that 20 is special, man. I didn't reach it.
But you did everything else, averaging 32, 7, and 6, and 23. But, Mac, let me ask you. That's a whole other story. Hey, I got Mac on my wall right now.
That's a whole other story, dog.
Hey, but, Mac, let me ask you this, bro, because you got so many signature moves, right? You got your hang dribble. You got the behind the back when you put it in front of their face. You got the off the backboard in the glass. Two-part question. One, what's your favorite signature move? And two, what signature moves do you like of others that's either playing now or played in the past that you was like, oh, that's nice. I ain't did that one. That's nice.
There is nothing greater than a hezzy pull-up, bro.
Man, I stole that from you, man.
Nothing greater than a hezzy pull-up. Everyone is using a hezzy.
Everybody.
Right? Because it sets up other moves. Right, and that's why I came up with it, because you just don't know if I'm you know, rocking you to sleep to cross you over, or rocking you to sleep to pull up on you, or rocking you to sleep or keep it in my left hand and go by you, or go between the legs. Like you just don't know. I created so many moves just out of the hezzy.
Out of that,
yeah.
And then what moves you like from other guys? Signature moves that you've seen over the years?
Yeah, it is so many. Your joint that you did. Going between your legs, you did something crazy with the Bulls one time when you coming down
behind the back. Downhill, yeah.
You go behind the back, like that's crazy in itself.
He had one too where he went through the legs into a hop step.
Yeah, that was the one.
Yeah. That was the one. Come full speed and hit you. It was more like Kyrie.
Kind of like bring the ball over your head or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hey, making up on the fly, man. I was making up on the fly out there freestyling. Every day was Freestyle Friday for me. I was just making it up as I went. Hey, but Stack, little known story. I hit T-Mac because we was tight. We still are tight, but we was tight. And I hit him like, yo, I want to get better. You're the best. Can I come work out with you? And he was so gracious, him and his family. And they let me stay in the house and everything. And as soon as I dropped my bags, we right in the gym. And
Excuse me. The old house, not the new house. Get that.
The old house. The new one got a court too.
Okay.
But I saw him hang dribble, and I stole the hang dribble from him and Kobe. I saw him and Kobe do it first, no doubt about it. And I was doing it with the left hand. And when we were working out, Mac showed me how to do it with the right hand. And the thing that struck me about T-Mac is if you watch him from a distance, you'd be like, damn, man, he scores so easy. Everything's so easy. He can go to sleep and average 50 before a game. The thing about him I didn't know is how hard he worked. This dude was working out 3 times a day. He's on the track at 4 in the morning. He's back in the gym at 10 in the morning, back in the weight room at 12, back shoot at nighttime. And you would never know that. I ain't gonna lie, Mac, and I ain't never told you this. I thought it was gonna be some easy workouts. I really did. I said, he's easy. I just want to steal some moves from him. My man's working out so hard, I'm like, man, I'm dying over here. But I got better because of it.
And I appreciate you for that. His mannerisms and the person we know and his workout does not go together, dog.
At all.
He cool his shit off the court, but his workout is super intense.
My man was obsessed, bro. Like, he was obsessed. And I'm like, damn, okay, that's why he's as great as he is. It wasn't just the talent. It wasn't the God-given ability. He pushed it all the way to the limit with that God-given ability. And that's why he's T-Mac.
Yeah, no, that's what it was, man. It was, for me, in the off-season, because I never showed, like, how I work out. Y'all know me, man. I'm just laid back. I'm cool. I ain't all about the show. I don't care if you think I work out or not. That doesn't matter, because that's what people were saying. Like, oh, he's lazy. He's this. Is it? Okay.
Man, right. Trust me.
That's what I did in the off season. How are you lazy? How are you lazy? You don't work hard to be able to accomplish what I accomplished in my career. What are you saying about those that do accomplish, you know, scoring titles and take their team to win championships and all these personal accolades that cats? What are you saying about them? Just because you see it, right? Because they show it to you? To me, it's just a slap in the face how you spit on somebody, you know what I'm saying? And you don't even know, you don't see what I do, but yet you want to put a label that I don't work hard. Bring your ass on over here. Right. Come on and work out with me. You'll see.
Man, it was crazy. I couldn't believe it, Stack. I was there for a week. I could not believe it.
When did you develop the hang dribble, though? Did you have it in high school?
I say my first year with the Magic. First year with the Magic. That's when I developed it. Yeah.
All right.
Because I was always a left to right crossover type guy.
Right.
Right? So I love to do the left to right crossover. But then I was like, oh, shit. Started trying different things out. There it was. Bang. Bring you right into my shot, and it just felt comfortable. It's like, oh,
everybody,
this is it.
Develop that. Everybody this is it. That in their game.
It's actually one of the most unguardable moves ever. It makes guys unguardable. When you see when you see Kevin Durant, right? When you're seeing Kobe, you see Mac, you see myself, Kyrie's doing it. Like, you, that think about it. I'd say everybody from 6'11 to 7 feet down to 6'1 is doing that move. They're putting it in their teaching moments, right? I'm teaching kids now, and I teach them to hang dribble. So, utmost respect to you for that.
Yes, sir. All right, now let's get into this next 75 2000s list, man. Let's get up. First up, we got...
Ooh, your family.
Your family member, 3-year peak, 26 points per game, 6 rebounds per game, 4 assists per game, 25K career points, 22nd all-time, 11 straight seasons, averaging 20 or more, 8-time All-Star, 1998-99 Rookie of the Year, 2000 All-NBA, half man, half amazing, somebody who I was terrified of at nights, Vince Carter.
Mac, what's it like having front row seat to the Vince Carter show in Toronto?
Man, let me tell you something, bro.
He should have been in the top 75. I don't care.
Ain't no doubt about it. Both of them. Both of them, Stack.
No question.
My second year in the league, bro, this dude came in as a rookie. And mind you, like, I've seen this stuff in high school because I played on the junior team, Florida, and he was on the older team. So I always played before him in the summertime, and I used to just sit in the stands and watch this cat. And I couldn't believe my eyes what this high school dude was doing. Like, I thought I was good. But I'm like, bro,
different
jump
level.
Out of the gym. It's just it's a whole nother level. And I'm going to tell y'all what y'all probably don't know. This man broke his right wrist in the state finals, bro, and dropped 35 with the left hand.
Mac, you know why that makes all, makes all the sense in the world? Because now he shoots left hand threes. That's where it came from?
Oh, bro, it's effortless. It looks just like his right. That's talent.
That sounds like top 75 to me.
It was a highlight reel. Yeah. Every game. It was a highlight reel. I couldn't believe this man came and took the league by storm as a rookie like that. And I'm still trying to find my way. I'm sitting back. I got front row seats, and I'm just loving every bit of it.
Right. Top 75, easy. Both of y'all. They may be the only family members that should be in the top 75, Jack.
Nah, exactly.
Ron Artest, 3-year peak, 18 points per game, 5 rebounds, 4 assists per game, 2004 Defensive Player of the Year, youngest defensive player winner since Michael Jordan in 1988. Question for the group, best defender you guys ever faced?
Ron's up there. He's at the top of that list. I don't have enough information to be like, well, nah, Ron did a better job than this guy. He's on the list. I'll say
that.
He's definitely on the list. He just, it's long arms, strong hands. I figured Ron out very early because I used to sit there and try to dance with him, just play around with him.
Very early.
I can't play with this guy.
No, you cannot.
I cannot because he's not going for any of this. Any of my face, like it's like
that left
whatever
hand.
Whatever move I try to put on him, he got that long, strong-ass left hand. He's just going to stick that, like, if you try to cross over. And then he going to put it on you. You ain't going to be able to move, right? Like, nah, he was a problem. I had to figure him out early.
Yeah, that's my brother, dog. He a one-time All-Star, 2003, 2004 All-NBA, 2010 NBA champ, 1999, 2000 All-Rookie, 2003 Defensive Player of the Year, of course, a four-time All-Defensive team. A lot of stuff during the game and being misunderstood kept him away from a lot of his accolades because Ron was definitely one of the best defenders in the league and one of the best two-way players to ever play this game. Because if you know anything about Ron, I played with him and I seen him dominate both sides of the game against some of the top teams in the league. And everybody knows that played the game in our time, Ron was top 10 player in the league the whole time. When he was locked in, he was top 10 player in the league.
Stack, if you guys go through it, y'all win a championship in Indiana.
Yes, I think so.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because with Ron, if they're a 7-game series, if you're a player, you may have to an impossible efficient game. Like he's gonna make you take 25 shots to get 25 points. Like
no doubt about it.
He was that type of dude. Like you probably would have been efficient to in a possible in a 7-game series.
Yeah. Yeah, Ron Artest was definitely should have made it. Next up, we got Rasheed Wallace. His 3-year peak was 18 points per game, 8 rebounds per game, 16K career points, 4-time All-Star, 2004 NBA champ, 1995-96 All-Rookie. But none of that can sum up who Rasheed Wallace was. Talk to us, T-Mac.
Probably the most talented big man I've ever seen.
Man, Matt, you saying something, Matt. Yeah. You saying something. You saying something.
Probably most talented. I don't even know what else to add on that. Probably the most talented, skillful big man I've ever seen, bro. He had it all. He had it all. And like I was talking about Vince shooting left hand, she was the same way, bro. Mm-hmm. Same way. Look. I used to come, like going to Portland, show up the shoot around, and we'll come on the court, and I'll see she coming off the court. She'd have on some sweatpants and some Tims on.
Yeah.
I'm looking like, this man just don't give a damn, dog.
Hey, and Mac, to add on to what you said, my rookie year, we played Karl Malone, Chris Webber, Kevin Garnett, Tim Duncan, and Rasheed. And we're on one of our West Coast trips. And I said, you know what? She's as talented as any of them. It was unbelievable to see him in person, to see how effortless the game was, how easy it was. He wasn't even playing for numbers, none of that. Like, he was just playing to win. And he was so cold. Great team player. Cold. Next up, we got Chris Webber. 3-year peak, 25 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists, 17,000 career points, 5-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA, 1993-94 Rookie of the Year, 1998-99 TRB champ, 1993-94 All Rookie Team, and now newly crowned Hall of Famer. One of the most skilled bigs ever, fellas.
Oh, without a doubt. Ain't no doubt about that. Can shoot, can pass, and big man. Very, very smart basketball player. I mean, Webb had it all too.
Yeah, he did.
Hey man, to see Webb has 17K. Man, that makes me feel great about my career having 13 because Webb was a problem. To see how dominant he was and how cold he was, killing all of it. He was going against them to the top boys in the league, KG, Tim Duncan, Al Rasheed, and still doing work. Like that said a lot for me about him, dog. He held his own in the time where the four spot was you was in trouble every night, dog.
Let me tell you something about Webb. You ever see Webb hands?
Oh, my God.
His hand?
Like St. No, Michael Jordan's hands.
See, Webb might have it. What? You have it? Oh,
not like
man,
that.
Bro. See, Webb got the biggest hands, bro. I thought I had some big hands. Man.
That's why he popped the ball gorilla
yes,
dunking
sir.
Like that.
Oh, man. He got some mittens, bro.
Gorilla dunking it. Right.
Hey, next up we got Yao Ming. As you know, your former teammate, 3-year peak was 21 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, 2 blocks, 8-time All-Star, 5-time All-NBA, 03 All-Rookie. I was the first person to dunk on Yao Ming in preseason when he came to the league. Yeah, that was me. I got the footage. But T-Mac, if this dude wouldn't have been hurt, please talk about how good he was.
Championship.
Yeah, good. I was highly skilled, man. 7'5". 7'5", fellas. Had left hand, right hand jump hook, can shoot the mid-range, 85%, 88% free throw shooter, can pass the ball. Like, he had it all, bro, on the offensive end.
Was unguardable. Dwight Howard, next up, 3-year peak, 20 points per game, 14 rebounds per game, 2.5 blocks per game, 19,000 career points and counting. Only player ever to win Defensive Player of the Year 3 years in a row. 8-time All-Star, 2-time block champ, 8-time All-NBA, 5-time All-Defense, 5-time rebounding champ, 2020 NBA champ, 2004-05 All-Rookie, 3-time Defensive Player of the Year. Fellas, T-Mac, you were in Orlando. You saw this up close and personal. How good was Dwight in his prime? And shouldn't he be on the 75?
Bro, that's not top 75, dog. That's
on,
a whole bro. Book of accolades,
bro. What are we talking about?
Come on, bro. They And then he was one of the people that I was talking about that was left off that list. That man top 75, bro. Stop yeah. with the personal attack.
Personal beefs, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like, crazy. Come on, bro. For 8 years, this man the most dominant big man in the game, bro. Most dominant big man in the game.
And it's not even close.
Not even close. Stop playing with this man, bro. I get, you know, all the personal stuff. I get all the distractions and all that stuff. But when it came to basketball and the productivity, what he gave Orlando for 8 solid years, that's top 75. Let's stop playing with him, bro.
Come on, man.
He's first ballot Hall of Famer. He should have been top 75. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all giving Robin all this praise. I mean, man, come on, man.
Dwight
top 75.
They totally disrespected.
I get upset. I get upset over stuff like that because all that the politics come into play, and that's bullshit.
And one thing I hate is they always try to bring up the end. Like, what about the first 15 years this dude done gave you? Don't try to bring up the end because you got something personal with him. He's top 75 easy.
I have no respect for the people that left that man off the top 75. No respect.
Right.
And a lot of them was players.
All them. Man,
and a lot of them was players that was on that list that voted.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. Crazy.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It's packed with benefits to help unlock more value from your business purchases. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
Next up, Agent Zero, 2-year peak, 28 points per game, 6 assists per game, 4 rebounds per game, 3-time All-Star, 2002, 2003, most improved, 3-time All-Star. Hibachi, man, I don't like, that doesn't really say who Hibachi was, bro, because I know from playing against him, and T-Mac, you can probably get a test to us. This dude was a walking bucket. I'm talking about every night. And they can say what they want, but while he was in the league, he was basically unguardable too.
Gear was unguardable. He was. He was quick. He was strong. and he had a ratchet. And he shot it. And he shot it from anywhere. And if he got hot,
oh, it was over.
Just pray that your coach sent a double team.
Yeah, you felt like you was in an island garden, Gil. You know what I mean? Like he, like Max said, he was fast. He was strong. He could get to the basket. He was a foul magnet. He was shooting 3 feet behind. He's shooting game winners, turning his back, putting his hands up like he knew what time it was. Montel Jordan style, this is how we do it. He was just partying straight like that. So to see Gil, you know, up close, he was so far ahead of his time, because if he was doing what he's doing now, you could add 35, 37 to what he was doing, already 28 to 30. He was unbelievable.
That's a fact. Gil in today's game?
Oh my gosh.
Man, come on, bro. It wouldn't be fair.
No.
Gil put up crazy numbers. Gil probably hit that 70-point mark.
He's got every tool in the arsenal to do it. That's for sure.
Yeah. Because he not only could he shoot, he know how to create fouls.
Yeah,
he gets foul line.
Yeah.
He told me one game I was playing against him, like, "Ma, every time it's the bonus drive, they got to foul you." I'm like, damn, I didn't think about that. I'm trying to get around him. Like, no, just run into him. They'll give you points. I'm like, you done figured it out. All right, yeah. I got you.
G Hill taught me that.
Oh, okay. G Hill. Next up, we got Chauncey Billups, 3-year peak, 17 points per game, 7 assists, 3 rebounds, 41% from 3. That's crazy. 17-year pro, just under 16,000 career points, 5-time All-Star, 3-time All-NBA, 2-time All-Defensive Player, 2004 NBA champ, 2003, 2004 Finals MVP, and somebody I know that T-Mac loves because we were at his house. I asked him about Big Shot. Tell us about Big Shot Chauncey Billups, Mac.
My brother, man. We played together in Toronto. I had wish I played with Chauncey when I was in my prime. We both was in our prime. He knows how to win. You know what I'm saying? You're talking about having a coach on the basketball court with you, you know, helping you maneuver through challenging situations. Like, Chauncey was such a cerebral basketball player and such a great leader of men.
And yep.
Everywhere he went, once he figured it out, everywhere he went, he won. Yeah. Detroit, he won. Right? Denver, he won. He's just he completely changes the complexity of a basketball team.
I had the opportunity to play with Big Shot, and just he was a coach on the floor. He was always a coach. He was always coaching and teaching. I loved his demeanor. No moment was too big. He was never too high or too low. He always kept us centered. I believe if he was healthy, we won a championship with that Clippers team, because his cerebralness, the respect that he demanded, you know, he was always himself, solid as they come. Still talk to him to this day, and I'm happy to see him coaching, giving back that knowledge to the next generation. He's almost like a modern-day Dame Lillard with how their personalities are and how they play and how they were unflappable. So love to see those two together now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Big Shot was one of them point guards that everybody in the league wanted to play with. Everybody looked up to, everybody respected. And I got a chance to play with him in the Big Three. One of the most solid dudes. And like I said, everybody saw the leader he was, even though they wasn't on his team. You know what I'm saying? Everybody like, damn, I wish I had a point guard like that. Because he going to control the game. He kind of like Chris Ball. He going to control the game, whatever team or whatever game he playing, and he going to control the game. And that's one thing I respected about Big Shot.
I'm not even going to say good. Here's how great Chauncey is or was. Although we view him as a solid, like a point guard, a true point guard, of being a facilitator, leading the team, controlling the tempo. If he needed to get 30 or 40,
he can do it.
I seen it firsthand. We was beating the shit out of Detroit, right? When I was with Orlando, got up.
This 3-1. The playoff one? Yep.
This the playoff one.
The playoff. Yep.
My man took upon himself. Nah, I've been a facilitator for these first 4 or 5 games. I need to start scoring. 40, 38, back to back.
Ooh-wee.
Like that. Yeah.
Ooh, let's move on to his teammate. My classmate, somebody who I've seen do work for a long time. He had a 3-year peak of 20 points per game, 4 assists per game, 4 rebound. 14-year pro, just under 16,000 career points, 3-time All-Star, 2004 NBA champ. A lot of players talk about how he was one of the most hardest players to guard. Nobody was in shape like this brother. We're talking about Rip Hamilton, the Mask.
Mac, what you remember about matchups with the Mask, Rip City?
The most conditioned player on the court.
Yes, sir.
The man, I know he ran about 8 miles, 10 miles every game. Slow down, bro. Stop running off of these screens, bro.
Like, Rip, is it worth it? Why? Is it worth it to shoot all this gas just to get 2 points? You know, why are you doing this, bro?
Hey, bro, just tell them to give you the ball so you can, like, get a couple dribbles in and ISO, and I can guard you that way. Oh, don't have me running through Ben Wallace and Rasheed Wallace, bro, to get your shot off.
Two chests.
Oh, bro.
You remember that play? Two chests. Hey, Max, I was in my scout, though. When I heard two chests coming down the court, I said, hey, you take Rip this time. I'm going to Tayshaun.
Listen, thank God for Tayshaun being on that team so I can guard Tayshaun, because chasing Rip, Darryl, hey, D.A., you got it, bro. You and Jock Vaughn, y'all handle that assignment, man.
Y'all got that.
Man. That's so impressive for a guy to move like that for 42 minutes a game.
A game, right.
And think about what Steph is doing right now, right? And still have the efficiency to shoot the ball like that in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, man, that's incredible.
And Steph is shooting it from further, right? Like Rick was running around getting tired doing it mid-range. Steph is doing it. Hey, get me in a condition drill. Have me do three down and backs and shoot a three. Come hit the side of the backboard. Ain't no way. No. Next up,
man.
We got their teammate. This is going down the Pistons line. Ben Wallace, 8 points per game, 14 rebounds per game, 3 block shots, a steal and a half a game. One of two players who won Defensive Player of the Year 4 times with Mount Mutombo. 4-time All-Star, 2001, 2002 Block Champ, 5-time All-NBA, 4-time Defensive Player of the Year, 2-time Rebounding Champ, 2004 NBA Champ, 6-time All-Defensive Team, Hall of Famer out of Virginia Union. Fellas, what made him so good on defense?
They say you can pull and plug, you know, different guys, and the team will still go that same way. Not with Ben Wallace, bro. You take Ben Wallace off that team and try to plug somebody else in, I don't give a damn who it is. It don't move. That train don't move the same way. At that particular time where Detroit was, you know, dominant in the Eastern Conference for, what, about 4 or 5 years, maybe even 6 years. I might be leaving some out. But he was such a dominant force on the defensive end, bro. He was intimidating to some people. He was intimidating. You know, although Ben's probably 6'6", 6'7".
Right.
But 6'6", 6'7", man, he was a great rim protector. He wasn't going to allow anything, you know, easy at the basket. He controlling the boards. He set mean screens, and he going to protect his teammates.
Ben was tough. It's only one person that I really seen make Ben look like he wasn't supposed to be out there, and that was Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan was giving him the blues. I'm talking about the blues.
We're talking about the greatest power forward of all time.
I know. But he guarded.
It's going to take somebody like Tim Duncan to do that to Ben Wallace.
Right. As a big man, if you're a guard or a perimeter player, he don't want to shoot. He going to do all the dirty work, get all the blocks, the rebounds, and give you the ball and set screens. Oh, man, come on. I need some dough to stay with me. Like, come on, man. You're going to make me better. You make the team better.
He guarded Shaq one-on-one, bro.
Bro, think about it. He was a liability on the offensive end, bro. And they still competed for championships. He's a liability.
Yeah, he's still Hall of Famer. That's crazy. Right. That shows his impact.
Shows his impact.
Any big man that can guard Shaq one-on-one for a whole series.
Deserves to be in the Hall of Fame.
Man, you deserve it, dog.
Absolutely.
And win?
Yeah.
The chip, though. Not the chip, though.
Nah.
Come on.
And guarded Shaq straight up, pretty much. That's Ultimate Warrior, man.
Man, come Definitely. On, man.
Are we going through 75 people right now?
This is
the last one right here. This is the last one.
Max, I'm having fun with y'all, man.
This is the last one, Mac. We're going to finish up with Elton Brand. 3-year peak, 21 points per game. 10 rebounds per game, 2 blocks per game, just under 17,000 points. Averaged 18-9 all of his first 8 seasons. 2-time All-Star, 1999, 2000 All-Rookie. Rookie of the Year, 1999, 2000 Rookie of the Year, and All-NBA 2005-06. EB was a problem. Talk about EB right quick.
EB is another cat with them big mittens, bro. Big hands, big body. He just knew how to play the game, man. You know what I mean? Knew how to use his body and get his shot off. Root on the boards. Like, he controlled the boards. Like, he long arms. Like EB was a problem. Like he was a 20 and 10 dude. We ain't have many of those. He was in that class of a 20 and 10 type guy.
And he was doing as a rookie. I came into Chicago right after his rookie year. And I remember the marketing department had a brand of soap and it said Elton Brand. Like it looked like it was Tide. And it said the brand you could depend on, 20 and 10. He was getting 20 and 10 regardless. The brand Fact. You could depend on, 20 yes. and 10 regardless. He was yes. putting the book before the game.
Yes, bro.
Nah, he absolutely was a problem. People have no idea. He became a monster as well when he went to the Clippers before injury. He was just a problem and somebody that's underappreciated and not talked about enough.
Nah, that's real. You go ahead, before the game even start, go ahead and put it Don't down, put it 20 in. And 10 in the books. For real.
Absolutely. He was getting
that. Hey, that's it, man. T-Mac, man, we appreciate you for coming on, man, for working with us and giving your opinion on the Forgotten 75, man. I feel like you should have been in the top 75 that I played against, not just because you're my brother, because I know what you've done for the game and what you've done while you was playing, dog. Nah, real shit.
All his peers know he belonged in the 75.
Yeah, T-Mac's, they know that, dog.
T-Mac's one of the coldest to ever touch a basketball. Like we talked about, the hang dribble, something he brought to the game, it would be felt for eternity, because you can't be unguardable if you don't have the hang dribble. Besides that, Mac is an artist, and we're thankful for him, bro, because he's something different. I don't know if he knows how cold he truly is and was, and everything he's doing to OBL is just as cold. So we're excited about OBL as well, Mac.
I just love the game, man. Worked my ass off, and, you know, it was God-given talent. I just, you know, put the work in to enhance that. So I appreciate the compliments, fellas.
You already know.
Yep, and once again, Welcome to Showtime Family, man, the OBL League. Welcome to Showtime Family, man. We're looking to be a part of it. Going to be a great weekend in New York with the OBL League and also the Gervonta Davis fight. So I'm looking forward to seeing you there, my boy.
Yes, sir, man. I see y'all this weekend. Appreciate you, fellas.
Yes, sir. Yes, T-Mac.
There were so many guys that we wanted to have on the forgotten list for the 2000s, man. It's just we have time to go through all of them and a lot of guys that we want to show love to and give flowers to. Man, we appreciate y'all tuning in, man. Jamal, man, it's been a great day, bro. I love working with you. I don't know how I get through it because you make me laugh so much, bro. But you know what I'm saying? We give them what they want, don't we?
Hey, every time. We can't disappoint because you know we the voice of the people.
Showtime and Prime, baby.
Yes, sir.
Closing thoughts, Lakers head coach search. Juwan Howard declines the interview. We got Darvin Ham, Kenny Atkinson, Terry Stotts. Nope. Terry Stotts, Kenny Atkinson. Don't do it. Don't do it, Lakers. Don't do it. Darvin Ham, yeah, he deserves opportunity. What you think about their coaching search, man? I think by Juwan declining says a lot, but I know he want to stay with his son at Michigan. That makes sense. But these other guys they're talking about, you just saw a whole bunch of other names out there, bro. I don't know why they going back to the same recycled coaches.
Yeah, my vote would be Darvin Ham. I think as a player, he's an OG in the league, somebody LeBron, AD, and the rest of the crew, Russ and those guys with respect. He's a champion as an assistant. He's a champion, I believe, as a player with the Pistons. I think he just has a lot to give, a lot to bring to the table. I think he brings fresh energy. And as you know, Jack, looking at Willie Green, you know, looking at Monty Williams, looking at T. Lou, seeing these players become coaches and the way players look at them, I think bodes well for the future. So if I'm them, I'm going D. Ham. I'm going Darvin Ham. He gets my vote to be the Lakers' next head coach.
Yeah, I think that'll be a good one. Even Mark Jackson deserves another opportunity, man.
Absolutely.
I don't even understand why they keep recycling these same coaches. Even with, you know, we're not even talking about them, but even with Charlotte. You know, they trying to bring in.
Nah, forget who they're going to say. Stack. Would you coach Charlotte? Let me ask you this. Would you coach Charlotte?
I would.
I know you got ties with Charlotte. What I'm saying. Would you coach Charlotte if they said, Stack, we got a four-year deal for you. Can you get us to the playoffs and beyond next year? Could you do it?
Of course, I'm going to say yes. I'm not going to say no, I couldn't do it.
But you're a champion, Jack. I think you could do it. MJ, what's up? Holla at Stack.
Hey, honestly, dude. I would love to coach there because I played there. You know what I mean? And
right.
I believe in myself doing anything. But back to the Lakers, man, Zach LaVine, free agent. What you think he going to do, Mar?
If I had to bet one way or another, I would say he does not go back to Chicago. I think Zach is kind of where he's at. I haven't talked to him. I have no inside information. But just watching from afar, I think he may have, you know, outgrown that situation a little bit. Yes, they had success. I don't know. If I had to bet just watching it, I would say he does not go back to Chicago.
A lot of people thinking that, man. But two things. Lakers, Darvin Ham is a good option. Even Mark Jackson. Charlotte, don't hire Dan Phoney. Please don't hire Mike Dan Phoney. He's the worst thing you'll ever do. You see what he done everywhere else? Nothing. But Zach, do I want to see him on the Lakers, or do I want to see him somewhere else with a bigger role?
What you want to see, Jack? I mean, he's electrifying. He's young. He's right in the middle of the prime of his career. What do you want to see?
I think I want to see him with other stars.
That's a good point. I would love to see him with other stars.
I don't want to see him with a big role where he got to carry a team. I think with other stars, you'll get more out of him.
That makes sense. He's electrifying. Obviously, people are still learning about him. They learned about him with the Olympics. They learned about him in the playoffs this year. He was a little banged up, obviously, but I'm with you. I would love to see him with more stars than just one. No disrespect to Debo, DeRozan. He was unbelievable in the MVP conversation. But I would like to see him with some younger stars and a few of them to kind of pair together.
What's Burning is available every week at Showtime Basketball YouTube, and you can catch us on TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter at Show Basketball. Peace.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts. If you dare.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.